The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Unlimited broadband so you can download, upload and stream as much as you like.
I mentioned the game 30 seconds earlier on in the week. So what is it? It's a game with two teams where you have 30 seconds to describe and identify names and topics like famous people from movies or music, sports, politicians, places, songs, bands, books, TV, movies, shops and brands. Oh, anyway, all this. The first team around the board wins. The man who brought the game to Ireland is Greg Dooley. Greg, good morning to you.
Morning, Ryan. How are you?
Nice to talk to you.
Good. Yeah, great. Me too. Thanks.
I'm just curious, how does somebody become the board game guy? Go back a little bit. Where are you from and what were you doing initially in your career?
Well, I qualified after going to Mayfair Community School here in Cork. I qualified as a teacher in UCC.
Yeah.
Headed to London for a year. Pulled loads of pints and eventually ended up going to Zimbabwe on a three and a half year contract, teaching in Zimbabwe in a secondary school there.
How was that?
That was fantastic. You know, it was just a great experience at the time. Ireland in kind of the mid 80s was, you know, for those of us old enough, was kind of bleak enough.
Sure.
So it was great. It was a thoroughly enjoyable job, you know. Mm. The sunshine was fantastic. The kids were fantastic. The city where I taught was Bulawayo. It was like a bit like Cork. It's like the second city.
Yes.
And it was, you know, school used to finish at kind of 1:30 every day. And we'd coach sport then for the afternoon, you know. So you take off the shirt and tie in the morning, put on the runners and the shorts and... you know, that was it. No, it was fantastic, and we did an awful lot of traveling and everything. You know,
of course. What was your biggest learning, to use the word, from your time in Zimbabwe? Would you say, looking back now?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. I think it kind of opened my eyes anyway, and opened a lot of us eyes that, you know, the world is a bigger place, and I suppose it taught us taught me to adapt as well.
Sure.
To the ever kind of changing situation out there, you know.
Yeah.
And I obviously enjoyed it so much because then I took on a new contract then and went down to South Africa for a year as well to teach in a CBC Christian Brothers College in Pretoria.
Okay, well, that's intriguing. Tiptoe through your early years in Zimbabwe and South Africa, and then what all roads then bringing you back to Cork.
Yeah, I switched careers completely, left teaching, came home to work for a bank, Anglo-Irish Bank, it turned out to be in the early 90s.
Do you have to whisper that now?
No, yeah, well, you know, I wasn't in the property side of things.
No, okay.
I was in the small business loans.
I see.
Small personal loans, asset finance, the leasing, that side of the business, you know.
Okay.
Which gradually became less and less important as the property became, you know, their main focus.
And they went pear-shaped in spectacular fashion, as we know.
Yeah, I had left a good bit before that.
Had you?
So you can't blame me.
I won't blame you. No, I wasn't bringing you on to blame you for the collapse of the Anglo-Irish Bank.
Yeah.
In fairness.
I left in the early noughties. Didn't kind of implode until 7 or 8 years later.
And what did you do when you left there?
I kind of realised that things were changing a lot in the bank and there wasn't much of a future in a few years' time. I could have been let go or made redundant or whatever. So as our side of the business was decreasing. So... I just left and I became a finance broker. So I took the clients that I always had because the bank weren't interested in them anymore. So I continued to do what I was doing, but from an office at home, working for myself, you know, for about 6 or 7 years.
And then the crash.
And then the crash, yeah. Just before the crash, I was contacted by an old buddy of mine in South Africa, Liam Ryan, who's originally from Tipperary. He stayed on in South Africa when I came home. But we used to shoot the breeze every now and again, you know, talking about the hurling and whatnot. So, and I'd see him occasionally when he came home on holidays. But he knew I had left the bank at that stage. And he sort of said, look, you know, you work for yourself. There's an idea that there's a board game here in South Africa called 30 Seconds. And he said, like, every second household has it. Like, he says, you know, they play it on radio. It's on media, everyone's talking about it. So he was sort of saying, would you be interested in maybe researching and having a look at the market and things like that, you know. Initially, I kind of just, Jesus, Liam, you know, board games, do people still play them? Because even though I had played them, you know, they're usually the likes of Trivial Pursuit and Pictionary and whatnot. And, you know, I hadn't played for quite some time, so, you know, I was unaware. So that was the seed of the idea, you know, so that's where it started. So it had an African connection.
Yeah, of course.
Going back.
Remarkable. You know? So when he came up with this idea, you said, nah, board games, A, there's no money in it. B, I don't have that background. And C, thanks for the suggestion, but I'll go. But obviously it got under your skin and you pursued it.
Yeah. That was the initial thing. And then what he did, Liam sent over a couple of copies, couriered them over. So I think I gave them a few people and then we sent them up the country to people I didn't know, you know what I mean? So people could get a bit of feedback. No, that was a South African version, so they just had to skip all the stuff they didn't know on those. But you could still play it and get a feel that this could work, you know. And early on, it kind of struck a chord with me that, like, there was nothing really like it on the market. And this was the opportunity to put sort of popular Irish culture into a game, you know, because most of our games, well, 99% of them are UK or global or American,
yes,
or what, you know. So, and this game is particularly, it's aimed at everyone, sort of like, you know, the senior game kind of from 12 up until 112. But, you know, the big cohort of players that are attracted to it are kind of older, you know, late teens, 20s, 30s, you know what I mean? That's the kind of, so the game has to reflect what they're interested in, not what I'm interested in.
Interesting. So just to remind people, you have two teams, you take a card out of the box and on the card will be five, could be places, people's names, whatever, and you have to describe them in the 30 seconds to see if the other person can guess what you're talking about. And you, how often do you update the cards then to make them more relevant to a certain year?
There's 2,400 names in the game, and I update at least about 200 every year. So prior to each manufacturing run that we do, I usually sit down in March or April. Well, what actually happens is I collect new names all year long. I just talk them into my phone and collect them, because you can never remember them if you don't make a note of them. So when it comes to actually sitting down and reviewing the previous year's cards in March or April, that's what I do then, and just take out some of the names that have become old or stayed or lost their flavour and put in new stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like for example, like into this year's game now, the likes of Dermot Kennedy's on a card, Normal People went on a card, Greg O'Shea, you know, that sort of thing.
Then,
and then the technology as well, you know, things like FaceTime, Revolut, House Party, you know what I mean? Just to keep it fresh and up to date.
That's great.
That's part of its success, I think, you know?
Yeah, of course it is, because it's kind of got that relevance to it. I have to say, it's the most joyful game I've played recently, and it's just a lot of fun. And I'm curious to know how has business been with COVID particularly?
Yeah, it's been interesting. I mean, last year was a fantastic year for us, and the year started off great. January and February were very, very good anyway. When I was reviewing the year back in January and figuring out when we do the manufacturing and when we'd need it and all that sort of stuff, you know, I about 8,000 units still in the warehouse, and that should have lasted me until late September, early October. It's all gone. It went in March and April. You know,
this is a good news story, Jerry. Greg, rather.
Well, it is in the circumstances. Obviously, you know, the bigger picture, you're not kind of jumping up and down singing hallelujah. But you know, from the business wise, it was a nice, you know, a nice surprise at that time of the year. You know, it was quite frantic for those 2 months.
And are you lining up another batch of them now? Is that the plan?
Yeah. The cards for this year have been done, so they've gone to the printers. The cards are actually printed in Belgium, and then they're shipped to the plant, the Cartamundi plant in Waterford. That's formerly the Hasbro plant. They make about 18-19 million board games every year there.
Yes.
All the Monopolies, Trivial Pursuits. Not a lot of people know that they're actually made in Waterford. That's for here, UK and Europe. you know.
That's tremendous. And that must be a good employer there in Waterford, which is also good news. Just a couple of texts. You cannot mention 30 seconds in our house ever, says a text this morning. Big family gatherings at Christmas, play 30 seconds. World War III erupted. Granny confiscated the game, so I smuggled it out and I'm learning all the answers in case we're allowed to play it again. Another from Doreen says, I had brilliant fun with the game 30 seconds with my grandchildren. I didn't realise there was an Irish version. It's simple, fun, and a great way to get children thinking and helping with their vocabulary, which I thought is another good way of putting it, because it is interactive. It's good for the brain and thinking laterally. And our friends in Pinocchio's Toys in Cork were on to say, great to hear Greg on this morning. 30 seconds is by far our best selling family game. Since the first moment we stocked it, it's still in stock now, in fact, and we played it last weekend. Another says, and this is from Sinead in Kildare, we have a large family, all ages 13 to 24, and 30 seconds has been in our house since it came out, and we love it. It's a brilliant game for families and friends. And P.S., we played it lots over COVID lockdown, so well done. Yeah, and I think that if you are going to buy it, by the way, you'd be sure to get the brackets Irish version, because there's different versions that wouldn't make sense to you, so you got to watch that. How does somebody make the cut to get their name on a card, Greg?
Well, you're obviously in, so you can
I wasn't angling.
You can send me a brown envelope later. Yeah. No, I mean, it's just basically being pretty well known. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I mean, that's the whole key to a card. The psychology kind of behind 30 seconds is when somebody picks the card out of the box, they look at it, and they're supposed to be familiar with the names. The names are supposed to, you know, yeah, I know this, I can do this, you know? And the first two or three, everyone will get sort of two or three, you know, and then it's just a race against the clock whether you can get four or five right, you know. So, like, it's not your lack of knowledge that kind of stops you. You just run out of time,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
There's a feeling of, give me another card, I want to try again.
That's,
you know?
It's quite addictive that way.
Yes,
I see. Elaine in Roundwood's on saying, I love 30 seconds. It's so much fun for all the family. What a lovely interview. A great story of hope. And so apt for the times we live in now. You must be delighted that Revolut made it into the game. I am. I can be an expert at describing my new source of boastfulness. Any advice from Greg to someone who has just developed a game and is wondering about printing and getting it out there?
Well, yeah, I mean, the best thing to do is give them my contact. I do get contacted from people from time to time, mm-hmm, with ideas and whatever, and you know, in the past I've met them for coffee and given them the benefit of my advice.
That's very generous of you.
Yeah, so just get if you pass on my contact, get them to drop me an email and I tell them what I know.
Good on you. And that's very kind of you. Katie says, and by the way, that sort of kindness is what's going to get the economy going again, is just people helping other people with advice. So full mark. Katie says, I love 30 seconds. Would you ask Greg if you would consider maybe selling separate packs of cards to refresh the game for those of us who play it too much and know our own cards off by heart?
Yeah, I have a stack of emails over the last few years that's constantly coming looking for new cards and booster packs. There's definitely going to be a booster pack next year. I've been promising to do it
for the last couple
of years. It was supposed to do it this year, but it didn't happen with everything. So next year it has to happen, because there's people out there, and you've got a, you know, few of the fans there that were talking about it. They know the game better than me. I mean, I do the cards, but these people know the game off by heart. You know, I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a big hunger there for a booster pack. That must happen next year.
Got to happen, Greg.
And then in 2022, there's another version of 30 Seconds called 30 Seconds Everyday Life, and I'll be bringing that to Ireland as well, you know.
I love it.
You're
thinking outside the box of tricks. Myself, my wife Emma, and my brother and his girlfriend played the Irish 30 Seconds game on a 7-hour drive in Nepal from Kathmandu to Pokhara. Very dangerous roads, but the game kept us going, and my brother never won once. If that's sibling bitterness,
you know, skin and hair can fly, all right, you know.
Last one, we've had 30 seconds for a few years, a gift from a friend, and we've had mad fun with it, including a precious memory from what turned out to be my dad's last Christmas when he won twice and gloated. So thanks for the invite. That's not a lovely story from Mary Finnegan in Santry. Well, there you are, Greg. Thank you for your time this morning. Wish you well in your endeavours. Best to you and the family, and keep them coming.
Okay. Ryan, thanks a million.
All
for
the
that.
Best.
It was great.
Tell you likewise.
Thank you.
Greg Dooley joining us there with that lovely story. Little do you know, when you just wonder about that game and the next thing, the man behind it has a good story to tell.